Hi, church. Oh, I'm loud. Wonderful to be here with you. And I'm excited to see what God has to say to us today. I hope you all have been blessed reading or starting to read through the books of Psalms. All these ancient prayers and songs that many who have gone before us have said and cried out to God. For me, it has been a real blessing, and I hope as we continue to walk through the book of Psalms, you will be greatly blessed. Because I really believe if you want to look more like Him, we also need to look more to Him. And Chris has asked me to preach. You know, who knows me well knows I'm not in my comfort zone, but that's okay. Yes. Today we're going to look at Psalm 121. It's the second of the 15 psalms that are called Songs of Ascents. And these were travel songs, songs on the road, songs for the journey of life. And they're called Songs of Ascent, not only because they were sung by travelers as they were going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the yearly Jewish major festivals like the Passover, the Pentecost, or Tabernacles. But they were also very important because as the travelers were traveling or making their way up to Jerusalem, they were putting their hope and trust in God through their journey. And I think we are also pilgrims in this life. We are traveling through this life, and we need to have this certainty that God is watching out for us. This psalm was very important for a missionary called David Livingstone. I think many of you maybe have heard his name before. He was a famous explorer and missionary in the 19th century. He, for example, he discovered the Victoria Falls. So that's pretty big, I think. But this Psalm 121 was very important for him because before he left home to go on the mission field, he read this psalm with his parents. And many years later, his mom wrote him and she said, "Whenever I read this psalm, I think about you and I pray for your ministry." One of his famous quotes was, "God sent me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. And cut any tie in my heart. Expect the tie that binds my heart to yours." So David Livingstone, he deeply loved God. And he deeply loved the African people. After many years serving in Africa, his body was brought back to England. He was buried in Westminster Abbey in London. But as unbelievable as it might seem, his heart was buried in Africa, in Zambia, under a mula tree. And so his life's wish came true. His friends, actually, they knew about it. He always had this wish that my heart will always be in Africa. And I pray today that as David Livingstone's, also our hearts will be always tied to God and that we understand His great love for us, but also for others. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you are a God who is near. We thank you that you are a God who listens and who speaks into our situations, into our life circumstances. Lord, and we are in need of you every day. I thank you for this book of Psalms, these beautiful songs that speak into our life situations and encourage us and challenge us. And Lord, I pray today that you would also speak through me and to us, because we all need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read to you the Psalm 121. It says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This psalm, it teaches us four big truths about God's help and care for each one of us. First of all, the Creator is our helper. Second, our Father's eyes are always upon us. Third, His presence is with us. And last, our Father's care surrounds us. Let's jump into this psalm and discover some very beautiful secrets that God is sharing here with us. In verse 1 and 2, it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Have you ever thought about mountains? Someone once said God really must have loved mountains because he made plenty of them. So there's some truth to it. And I think mountains are very impressive. They are stable and full of strength. They symbolize strength. They are great in size. They are everlasting, long-lasting, and unchanging. And for me, it's beautiful when this songwriter, he starts with one very great decision, where we read, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. He makes a conscious decision. I want to look up. And also hills, they go upward, but I don't know if you realize many times in my life when I'm worried or when I focus on my problems, on these situations that trouble me, normally we tend to look down. Our faces are downcast. And when we focus a lot on our troubles, our difficulties, we get tracked into this further and further, and we get burdened more and more. But today, I want to challenge us all not to look down. That's the wrong direction. The hills remind us, the mountains remind us that we need to look up. We need to look up, and we need to look up not only to the mountains, we need to look higher, because our help comes from God. The mountains point us to the Creator, and that's something very important. The nature is never the solution, but nature always points us to the solution. And I think that's one thing we learn here from the psalm writer, is we need to look high enough because our help comes from God. He who made heaven and earth, and he who made these beautiful, wonderful mountains that many of us know. Remember, these psalms were sung by the travelers as they were approaching Jerusalem, as they started their journey, but also as they were coming closer to Jerusalem, to the place where they could maybe even see, when they were approaching closer and closer, the temple, so the dwelling where God was, the dwelling place where God was. However, the traveler, he really understood, I do not need first to reach in Jerusalem that God would be close to me. He understood, even I'm still far from the center of worship in these days, God is with me wherever I am. And he understood on the journey, God was his protector and the one who took care of him. And that's so true for our lives today, isn't it? That God is just as present in our journey in this life as he will be on our final destination. when we one day see him. God, he's also an ever-present help in times of need. I don't know if you ever heard this song from Beatles, Help. Yeah, many of the older ones would know it. I know it. The younger ones probably not. But it goes something like that. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, I need somebody. And I think we all need help. In different times in our lives, we are in need of help. And we need powerful, efficient, and constant help. And the psalmist, he says here, he asks in the first verse, "The where does my help come from?" He asks this question, and he himself answers it in the second verse. He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." He knew the only place he really needed to look is to heaven, to his creator, because he would be his helper. So his eyes looked up to God, and his hope was in him alone. And today, us as Christ followers, as Jesus followers, we need help. And I think that's our reminder, is that we need to focus and look to the right place, because our help also comes only from God. Many times we are tempted to look in the wrong places and we look in vain. And I think Satan is very happy when we start to look and focus on our problems and we're trying to figure out solutions and we get discouraged because we don't know how to solve these issues, and we just look down and we give up. But we need to refocus, and I think all of us at many different times we need to refocus in our lives. Because if we really want to be helped and to have victory, we need to look to God. And his promises that he never comes too late. He never runs out of options. There's nothing too difficult for him. All these promises, only Jesus is standing up for them and is a yes and amen in him. And I wonder, do you trust the creator of all things to take care of you? And where are you turning to when you are in help and in need of help? Where are you turning to? Maybe two questions you can take with you during the week to reflect on that. Secondly, in verse 3 and 4, the psalmist reminds us that our Father's eyes there are upon us. They are upon you. Here it says, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God says, your foot will not slip, or you won't be moved, or you won't fall. And these pilgrims, they walked for long distances. It wasn't a little walk, you know, let's go to the mall and it's around the corner. No, it was long distances, many times, more than a day, 2 days, 3 days. And they were not walking on nicely paved roads like us, you know, with a pedestrian crossing and a pedestrian sidewalk, nothing like that. These roads, they were difficult, they were very difficult and hard, and you could easily fall or hurt yourself. And they really well understood that if I make a wrong step, that it could have very severe consequences for them. And a few years ago, my husband made a very small slip. He just overstepped 2 steps in our staircase, and the biggest muscle in his whole body, the patella sinus, ripped. And he couldn't walk for 6 months. So I thought, really, it's so important that we don't slip. So we are grateful that he can walk again. Yeah, but when we build our lives on God and his word, we are not solid ground. We have a firm foundation for our life. And Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the Lord makes firm the steps on the one who delights in him. though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And I believe there are really no accidents for those who put their faith in Christ. Everything that happens in our life takes place under God's providential wisdom and care. There are no accidents. God is watching. And how precious was this idea to the psalmist that he knew along his journey, God would not allow his foot to slip. He would protect him and be with him. And this picture of God being his keeper or his protector, it depends on the translation that you use. In my translation, it says, he who watches over you. But in many other translations, it says, he who keeps you. And this was so important for the psalmist that six times in this little psalm of 8 verses, he repeats it. He says, he who watches over you, or he who keeps you. And this comes from the Hebrew word shamah, which means to keep, to protect, to guard, to preserve. And the idea was that God will watch over his people in the same way as a watchman watches over his city. So for the psalmist, it was life-changing to know that God is his keeper. And God is our keeper. He is your keeper. He keeps us. God is watching over you every day, and he's watching over me. And his eyes are always looking out for us. He's always looking out for us. Yes, and as we continue, the psalmist adds, he who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. And he repeats this idea again in the next verse because it was so important. So he emphasizes it again by repeating it. He says, yeah, God will not sleep. And this is a big contrast, I think, even to most of the pagan gods that we read about in the Word of God. There's, for example, this story in 1 Kings 18. I think many of you know where Elijah was meeting with the prophets from Baal, I think. Yeah, and they were kind of competing whose God is the real God. They built this big altar. And first the prophets from Baal were trying to make their God answer because the deal was whoever's God would send fire from heaven would be the real God. So they were trying everything, these prophets from Baal, they were trying to do everything, but their God did not answer. So Elijah started to tease them and say, hey, shout louder. Surely he's a God. Perhaps he's in deep thought or busy or he's traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and you must wake him up. And we know how this story ends. There was no fire from heaven from Baal because he was a man-made god. So there was no fire. And when Elijah prayed, we know that God sent fire from heaven because he's God. He's Yahweh, the only true God. But the implication here for us is if your God is sleeping when you need him, you don't have much of a God. But our God, he never falls asleep. He's always at the watch. And I don't know if you ever run into a watchman who's sleeping, but in my days in Brazil, this happened to me so many times. And every time I run into somebody who was sleeping, I had to smile because the whole picture is a little funny. But also to me, it happened many times. You know, there were very important things happening, and I was maybe asleep. Or I remember this story when Jesus was with his disciples in Garden Gethsemane, and he said, hey, just wake with me, stay awake with me for a little while, and they fall asleep. So beautiful, isn't it, to know that because God does not sleep nor slumber, we can sleep in peace, knowing that God is watching out for us, knowing that he's taking care of us, knowing that we can leave our burdens and our worries and our challenges at his feet, sleep in peace, knowing that he is in full control over our lives. And Charles Spurgeon, he once wrote a beautiful story, or told a beautiful story about a poor lady that was coming to the Sultan, and she asked for compensation because somebody robbed her. And the Sultan asked her, so how did that happen? How did you get robbed? And she said, you know, I was sleeping, and while I was sleeping, somebody entered into my house and they robbed me. And he asked her, so why did you fall asleep? And the lady said, because I thought and I believed really that you were awake. And the Sultan, he was so amazed by the answer that he restored all her losses back. But I think it's a nice picture for us, because God is awake and God never sleeps. We can rest in peace. In verse 5 and 6, it says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Again, this reminder, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your keeper. From the day we are born until our rest in heaven, he is the one who is with us. And there was a captain, Captain D was his name. He was traveling from Liverpool to New York on his big vessel. And many people traveled with him and also his family. And everything was going smooth and wonderfully until one night they came into a very severe storm. The big vessel was really struggling with the huge waves, and the water came over. And everybody was waking up in the middle of the night. They quickly got dressed and they were sure probably this is our last hour. Also, Captain D's small 8-year-old girl, she woke up. She asked with a lot of fear, what is happening? And her family members, they told her, you know, we're in a big storm. And she asked, is Father on deck? And they answered, yes, Father is on deck. The little girl turned around, put her head on the pillow, closed her eyes, and within seconds she fell asleep. It didn't bother her that she was in the middle of a storm. She didn't worry about the winds and waves, because for her one thing was only important, that her father was on board and her father was doing everything he could. And I think that's a picture for our lives, you know. God's presence is with us. That's something he promised to us. And because of this promise, we can really be at rest. We don't need to worry so much. We can trust that he's taking care of us. In verse 5, it continues, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And for the travelers to Jerusalem, it was a very long journey, but a very tiresome journey, because the sun in the Middle East is no fun, especially if you have no shade to hide. And I think many of you who come maybe from places where it's hotter than in Germany, you guys know how important shade is. It's life-saving. If you can sit under a tree, it makes all the difference. And beautifully here, it says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. And interestingly, the Hebrew language many times uses opposites to signify totality. So that means, in other words, if you use opposites, it includes everything that's in between. So when I say from day till night, it means day and night and everything that's in between. And I think that's a beautiful thing, that God protects you at all times, both day and night and everything that's lying in between day and night. And there the promise is, the Lord himself will shade you to give you comfort and safety. And I think there's really, in many times of our lives, there's nobody who can shelter us like God. Psalm 91:9 speaks about this imagery again. Here it says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, he will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So you and me, on our pilgrimage in this life and through this life, we can be assured that we can find rest under in God's shadow, and that we can rest in him. And finally, as we close, let's look at the last two verses that remind us that our Father's care surrounds us. It says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore." The Lord will keep you from all harm. That's a big statement. The singer, he had great confidence in God's presence and his word. And the Lord keep you from all harm meant that God watches over every aspect of your life. It doesn't mean that you won't have any troubles. It doesn't mean that life will be just only smooth and beautiful. It doesn't mean that life will only be comfortable. But it means this thing: when you face difficulties, you know that you're not walking alone through them. God promised to be with you and to lead you through it and to deliver you from it and to help you through difficult times. And I think that's a wonderful promise that we never walk alone. I think all of us, we experience at different corners, difficulties, struggles, hardships. But with God, knowing he is with us in it and that he promised to lead us through. I think that's the most comforting thing that I have experienced personally in my life. And then this final verse, we are told that God watches over all our transitions in life. It says, "The Lord will watch over your coming and your going." And this verse is cited frequently by all the devout Jews. When they go into their house, when they leave their house, they normally would always cite this verse. It's so important for them. They cite it over and over. It's a big part of their daily lives. And here again, it's beautiful. It's again pairing up these opposites to say, you know, your comings and your goings, your transitions, yes, but again, the opposites that show the totality and everything that's lying in between. Not just when you come home and when you, or when you leave your home. No, everything that's in between, your work, your struggles, your visits, your everything, God watches over that. And at the end of the verse 8, our last part of the verse, here it says, "both now and forevermore." And that's also a beautiful thing, that we don't need to choose that God watches over us now or forevermore. We don't need to choose, because God promised both for us. He promised both for his children, that he will watch over them today and tomorrow and until the end of our life and then in eternity. And Jesus promised us the same in Matthew 28:20. He says, "And I'm surely I'm with you always until the end of the age." So we have this promise that we never walk alone, that we are never alone, because Jesus is the one who promised to be there. And I think that's a very simple truth. We have heard it over and over, but I sometimes wonder if we really apply it to our lives. So as we close, I know that sometimes life is tough, it's tiresome, it makes us weary. And sometimes we get sad or discouraged, or we worry about the cares of this world. But today I want to encourage you. Today God is your keeper and he will watch over you. So we can take comfort in this truth that God cares for us. He has promised to take care for us. He has promised to provide for us. And he is our helper in times of need. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I have a little work for you, 1 or 2 minutes. Reflect on this question. In light of that promise that God watches over you, that God is your keeper, how can you respond or act differently next time when you meet difficulties or challenges in your life?
It's such a beautiful thing to know that the Lord watches over you. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you and His eyes are upon you. Amen. And just before we end with the blessing, I would just love for us to have a time of prayer as we think about God's blessings to us. As He says, look to the hills from where comes your strength. In challenging times, in difficult times, in good times, praise Him because He never leaves us. And I love the idea that He never slumbers or sleeps. So thank you so much for that wonderful word, Nicola. And if you just bow your heads as we close this afternoon, and today maybe you're saying, Chris, today I feel like I need some extra help from the Lord. I'm going through a challenging situation. I need His strength. I need His wisdom. I need His direction. I need His help. If that's you, just slip your hands up quickly and put it back down. And I'd love to pray for you. Amen. I see you. I see you. I see you. Someone else saying, I need God's help and His presence in my life this week. Amen. And just before we pray, maybe there might be someone who is saying to the Chris, I do not know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I would love to surrender my life to Him so that I might walk with Him and I might experience His presence and His help. And is there anyone today who is saying, I would love to dedicate and give my life to Jesus? Just slip your hands up also and put it back down, and we'd love to pray. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love, for Your care in our lives. We thank You for the ways that Your eyes continue to look upon us, and for the promises that You have given us in Your word, that You are our strength and You are our help. And today, Father, I pray for those who lifted their hands saying that they really need Your help and Your strength today. You know the situations that they are facing right now. You know the challenges, you know the joys, you know the difficulties in their lives. And I pray in a special way that in this coming week, that they would sense Your presence, they would sense Your strength, dear Father, they would experience Your grace. If it is forgiveness that they need, Father, that they would feel Your forgiving hand resting upon them, and that their hearts would be encouraged knowing that You are with them, You never leave them or forsake them. So we thank You so much and we praise You for all that You have been doing in their lives, and we commit each one to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's